Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on 103.9 FM on Long Island News Radio, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm talking to Randy Croxton, and he is a, I would say, a world-famous architect and someone who's done some pretty important work over the years. Randy, you remember when I was involved with a company called Nextech, and we had someone demonstrate that you could produce electricity on transparent glass. Did you ever see that that product?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I even before that point had gone over to Europe at the invitation of Shell Oil. Actually, I'm trying to remember if possibly a representative from Nextech may have attended that. But the Europeans were in the early development of the technology of the transparent, of truly transparent, not just photovoltaic components that are opaque, sandwiched in the glass, you know, so that you get a
light, but you don't get
effect. Now, this is actually a fully transparent glass that is generating power.
Have you used that technology at all, or is it not viable?
Well, we actually proposed it for a couple of projects, and the scale, it has not scaled up really well yet to architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently in use for, you know, I think we've all seen it in watch faces, you know, so that the watch is actually a solar watch. It's actually
so the
charging
panel on the front is which you can see through is actually creating electricity for the
yes.
mechanism behind it.
Exactly, and so they've scaled it up, you know, to a much larger size than just a watch crystal, but they are significantly lower than what you would be looking at for the scale of a window component. So that's an emerging technology. The beauty of that system, though, is that it accomplishes several things that are not true of the sort of standard plate system that we have now, where in this case, it actually generates electricity continuously, even in diffuse light. You don't have to have sunlight actually hitting the glass.
Yeah, you know, I remember reading that if you had a tree branch that was that divided your panel, it would put it out of business.
Yeah, in traditional solar, that's true.
Yeah, and with
and,
this,
and then also there's the angle of the sun has to be, you know, has to be at least. It used to be a reference point I used to use was 15 degrees, but that may have changed at this point. But the incidence of the direct sunlight on a panel has to be at a certain angle. So coming onto the panel and coming off of the panel, you lose those increments of space. Plus, of course, during daylight, when the sun is not hitting the panel, or even if there's just the shadow of a branch of a tree or whatever, that can kill the whole system. So this transparent glass, even though it doesn't have the same energy intensity being produced, nonetheless has a much more continuity and positive qualities about it for, you know, an architectural application.
Some of the applications that you talked about before, we can't use in New York, right, because of the shape of the buildings and the, you know, I mean, and the size.
Well, the building that we're renovating at SUNY New Paltz did not have any deep daylighting. Natural light to the interior, and was a brutalist building from the 60s, and really
a brutalist. What is that?
Brutalist is a style, kind of like the Boston City Hall.
I thought it was designed by a brute.
Yeah, well, we have lots of those too. I hope I'm not in that category, but there is some brutal architects and architecture. So there you you go.
Yeah.
But in any case, it's a perfect example of a building where you can come in and retrofit the building in such a way and redesign the interior in such a way that you can get natural light throughout the building, even if it didn't originally.
Do you use solar tubes for that?
We have not. Are you talking about the...
I know it's a commercial product, and it's called solar tubes, but I mean,
right,
the concept could be used.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I find that the easiest sort of slam dunk high efficiency system is to use solar hot water, and there are tubular versions of how that gets implemented.
You know, I proposed this to this commissioner of the parks. The concession stands out on Far Island Beach, they have a perfect angle of incidence for picking up solar, and they were using a lot of hot water because they had a kitchen there and they had showers and everything else.
Oh, wow.
And
what a great application.
And when do you need it? In the summertime. When do you have the best results? In the summertime. And I found out, and I know this would be a shock to a man like yourself, but the reason why we couldn't get anything done is because the oil sales company was a big contributor of the governor. Now, I know that those things don't happen in modern America, but that's what was going on back in those days. And that was about 20 years ago I made that proposal that they do that. But in any case...
Well, right now there are finally a lot of incentives on the renewable side, so hopefully that would not be the story today.
No, I don't think so. And I did see some of the buildings have been converted; they do have some solar panels on them.
We're right now we have Climate Week coming up here in New York and at the UN, and
you're going to be a march on Sunday, right?
Right, exactly, and. And that's really underlining the new data, which says that the last two full analysis and reports that came out by the climate panel were not overstatements, as a lot of critics said. They turn out to have been very dramatically understated.
You know, I wanted you to talk about what influence you may have had, not you in particular, but people who are doing what you're doing in the general arena of architecture.
Well, you know, it has been a transformational change in terms of expectations. Let's put it that way, that the industry, whether you are supplying materials, whether you are a contractor executing work, or whether you're a developer bringing a building to market, there has been if you're talking about me, you're talking about beginning from a dead start, from zero awareness, zero commitment, interest in the...
Well, I know at least 20 years that you've been doing it, but you've probably been doing it 40 years or something.
No. I when I came along, I first arrived in New York in 1968, and I started working for I.M. Pei. I worked there about 7 years, and then went into a partnership and then started my firm in 78. So I really sort of measure our... first, what I call the first generation of our interest in this subject began.
Does I.M. Pei use a lot of these techniques too now?
There's a building that's going up. As a matter of fact, I'm looking across Bryant Park and I can see the building, which is my original sort of mentor. Was a partner at I.M. Pei is Harry Cobb. And Harry Cobb is doing, for Pei and Partners, is doing the building that's located on the southwest corner of Bryant Park. It's a developer building for Gerald Hines. And that and quite a number of other buildings that pay our lead buildings.
We're getting to the end of this segment. I hope
sure.
You have another segment, but if we don't, this is Ernie Fazio. We've been talking to Randy Croxton. It's been very, very enlightening. Thank you, Randy.
Sure.